Happy Friday, everyone. Today is January 22nd, 2021, and welcome to Today in Sports History, the podcast that will make you the most interesting person at the water cooler, guaranteed. Without any further ado, let's get started. In 1857, the National Association of Baseball Players is founded in New York. In 1960, Paul Pender beats Sugar Ray Robinson for the middleweight boxing title. In 1968, the NBA announces the expansion franchise licenses awarded to Milwaukee and Phoenix. In 1973, George Foreman TKOs Joe Frazier in two rounds to win the WBC and WAB heavyweight boxing titles in Kingston, Jamaica. Frazier was knocked down two times in both the first and second rounds. In 1983, Houston is the first NBA team held scoreless in an overtime period. The Portland Trailblazers outscored them 17-0 in that overtime period, winning the game 113-96. In 1987, as a blizzard fell in New Jersey, only 334 fans were in attendance for the Devils and Flames game. New Jersey won 7-5. In 1988, defending champion Mike Tyson beats former title holder Larry Holmes by TKO in round four at the Convention Center in Atlantic City to retain his undisputed heavyweight boxing title. In 1989, after winning his third Super Bowl as head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Bill Walsh retires. In 1990, Will Clark, the NL's MVP, signs a $15 million four-year contract with the San Francisco Giants. In 1998, NHL's Minnesota franchise selects the nickname Wild. Also in 1998, Ricky Henderson rejoins the Oakland A's for the fourth time. And for the third and final event of 1998, World League of American Football is renamed as NFL Europe. In 2006, Kobe Bryant scores 81 points in a 122-104 Lakers victory over the Toronto Raptors. It's the second highest game total in NBA history, behind only Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game in 1962. And lastly, in 2018, the New Orleans Pelicans' DeMarcus Cousins has 44 points, 24 rebounds, and 10 assists in a 132-128 double overtime win over the Chicago Bulls. The first player to have 40-plus points, 20-plus rebounds, and 10-plus assists since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1972. And we'll be right back with our deep dive segment. Welcome back, and thanks for sticking around for our deep dive segment today. Today we're going to look at arguably the worst expansion in professional sports. I'm talking, of course, about NFL Europe, or NFL Europa, as it became known in the later days. Starting in 1998, the World League of American Football began its second phase as NFL Europe. Qualification for the World Bowl Championship game changed drastically from its original inception. The two teams with the best overall record after 10 games competed in the World Bowl, to be hosted at a predetermined location. A team could no longer secure a World Bowl berth midway through the season. The change was largely attributed to the play of the eventual 1997 World Bowl champions, the Barcelona Dragons, who secured a World Bowl berth with a 4-1 first half record and proceeded to rest players and played what some argued was low-intensity football in the second half, finishing just 5-5 and third place overall in the standings. The Scottish Claymores began to divide their schedule between Edinburgh and Glasgow's Hampden Park, having previously only played at Murrayfield. The London Monarchs became the English Monarchs and began playing home games in London, Birmingham, and Bristol, and switching their colors from blue, gold, and red to red, white, and black. In the late 1990s, two future NFL star quarterbacks were active in European leagues. Kurt Warner played for the Amsterdam Admirals in 1998, and Jake Delhomme was his backup quarterback. Delhomme played for the Frankfurt Galaxy for the following season in an unorthodox two-quarterback system that also included Pat Barnes. The Galaxy won the 1999 World Bowl. The NFL Europe era was beset by instability by NFL Europe president Oliver Luck, who was, as some put, well past being concerned with the short term and claimed attendance were less vital to revenue than before. However, with attendance slumping to an average of 5,944, the English Monarchs were shut down after the 1998 season and were replaced by the Berlin Thunder. In 2002, the Barcelona Dragons became an official section of FC Barcelona, adopting the name FC Barcelona Dragons. However, after only 1 year, Barcelona dropped its sponsorship. With the team struggling financially and generating little fan support, the NFL was not interested in keeping the franchise alive and replaced it with the Cologne Centurions for the 2004 season. The Barcelona Dragons played at FC Barcelona's mini-stadium for one full season before being dropped by the club because of lack of fan interest and financial difficulties. The Scottish Claymores, one of the three teams added to the league in 1995, were also discontinued in 2004 and replaced by the Hamburg Sea Devils for the 2005 season. With this change, five of the six teams in the league's final incarnation were from Germany, with one from the Netherlands, leading some of the league's detractors to refer to it as NFL Deutschland or NFL Germany, even speculating that the Admirals only remained in Amsterdam because they won World Bowl 13. Unsurprisingly, German teams won all seven of the World Bowls between 1998 and 2004. In 2005, total attendance at the 30 games was 536,935, and the average in-game attendance was around 18,965. It was the highest since 1992. On the other hand, TV contracts were canceled when teams moved, such as the termination of the league's deal with satellite TV platform Digital Plus in Spain after the demise of the Barcelona Dragons. Players' salary had gone down since the start of the WLAF, when the average was $40,000 a season, but by 2005, the salary was $18,500 for quarterbacks and $13,500 for all other positions. In 2006, the league schedule opened and closed 1 month earlier than normal because of the 2006 FIFA World Cup, which was played at four of the five German stadiums that hosted NFL Europe teams. Only the LTU Arena in Dusseldorf was not chosen to host World Cup matches, and that stadium hosted the World Bowl that year. On September 11, 2006, NFL Europe officially rebranded itself as NFL Europa to reflect the name of Europe in most European languages, including Dutch and German. NFL Europe continued to be used informally in the United States, including the league's English language website, NFLEurope.com. On June 29, 2007, NFL officials announced that the NFL Europa League would be disbanded effective immediately. The announcement came less than a week after the Hamburg Sea Devils had defeated the Frankfurt Galaxy 37-28 and the World Bowl 15 in Frankfurt before a crowd of 48,125. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell thanked the fans for their support, but said that it was time to develop a new international strategy, terming the move to fold NFL Europa the, quote, best business decision, quote. The league was reportedly losing about $3 million a season. The league was credited for providing training for coaching interns and game officials, as well as being a useful testing ground for potential NFL rule changes. Various reasons were put forward for NFL Europe's collapse and the game's limited appeal outside North America. John Williams, director of the Center for Sociology of Sport at the University of Leicester, cited the league's, quote, lack of flow, with play broken up for, quote, tactical talks and timeouts, and deemed too contrived by fans of more free-flowing sports. The NFL announced plans for a stronger international focus on regular season games outside of the United States. The NFL International Series began in October 2007 at Wembley Stadium in London and continues to today. The Bills-Toronto Series started in 2008 but ended in 2013. However, no mainland European country has hosted any NFL games for 20 years since Germany hosted exhibition games from 1991 to 1994. Since 2007, the most prominent intra-European competitions have been the Big Six League, European Football League, EFAF Cup from 2002 to 2013, and the EFAF European Championship. We want to thank you for joining us in this episode and hope to have you back for many more. Please don't forget to subscribe to us however you're listening to us, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or any other platform. And please follow and like us on all social media. Our handle is @SportHistoryPod. Again, that's @SportHistoryPod. Thank you to Jason Shaw of Audionautics for the introduction music, and Laura Robin, our script editor and director. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.